Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? Yo, are you listening?
Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening?
Yo, my G.
Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Are You Listening podcast, where two friends sit down and talk about music for a little while. My name is Scott. I'm here with my good friend, Brand. Brand, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Just feeling a little weird here, Scott. Feeling weird, you know?
Yeah.
Feeling weird. We're talking about a guy that some people call weird. Some people call him weird, Scott.
They do call him weird. A lot of people call him weird, matter of fact.
Because this isn't a standard album episode, Scott. It's draft week.
Nope. It's draft week. And I did it to us. I said April's funny month. So what better to do a draft than on Weird Al Yankovic?
The funny man.
The funny man.
If you could throw adjectives at him, and of course weird is the one that's mainly used, I might put goofy above funny, though.
I can see that. Goofy, yeah.
And that's not saying goofy isn't funny, but some people find goofy funnier than funny is.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I see goofy as more all-encompassing funny because it's more childlike humor most of the time.
See, I see Goofy as just a guy that's trying to hang out with his son, Max, and, you know, just trying really hard.
Just throwing dad jokes out there all the time.
No, like that was actually like Goofy from Disney.
Oh, shit. Gotcha. Oh, man. Yeah, lost
me. Big Goofy guy. Big Goofy guy over here.
I forgot about the Goofy movie.
And totally the extremely Goofy movie.
Oh, was there a second one?
You didn't see the one where Max is fucking ripping it up on a skateboard? Skates?
No.
Skateboard? Skates? Dog, you go. It's on Disney Plus. Do yourself a favor. With your family.
Yeah.
Put on Extremely Goofy Movie and check it out. Maybe not when you're all sick. I don't want that hampering it.
Right. Wasn't there one where like they interacted with like a pop star or something?
Yes.
Was that the first one?
I've watched them both so many times that I don't know which one is which at this point.
Understood.
But it's weird that like as a kid watching it and relating so hard to Max. And I think you're going to actually see this now too. And then now seeing Goofy and just seeing how hard he's trying. And it's just like,
Goofy,
man.
I'm with you.
Goofy, you're just trying so hard and you're Goofy, so like it's not working out great, but Max doesn't see how hard you're trying. It's something, man. It's a different experience as an adult, but I love
it. I'm going to have to watch it.
I didn't bring up Goofy just to wedge in my Goofy chunk there. I don't know how we hit this. I genuinely think that Weird Al may be more Goofy, and sometimes Goofy is funny, but I think Goofy is a separate, like if there's a Venn diagram of Goofy and comedic, they meet in the middle, but they're not always the same.
It's a sliver.
Yeah. Yes.
It's quite slight. Yeah.
Well, for some people, it's the whole thing. Some people, all they want is Goofy.
That's it. Well, I do have some notes on Weird Al. So let's jump into those. And then you won rock, paper, scissors. So you'll get first choice.
You're damn right. I don't think it matters that much, if we're being honest.
He has 14 records. Mm-hmm. So there might be some battle. I'm not sure, though. We'll see. Alfred Matthew Yankovic, known professionally as Weird Al, is an American musician best known for creating comedy songs that make light of pop culture and often parody specific songs by contemporary musicians. He also performs original songs that are style pastiches of the work of other acts, as well as polka medleys of several popular songs, most of which feature his trademark accordion.
Yeah, Weird Alfred is a different dude.
He drives a van with no windows. Since having a comedy song aired on the Dr. Demento radio show in 1976 at age 16, Yankovic has sold more than 12 million albums as of 2015. So 9 years ago, the number was 12 million albums.
And he hasn't put a record out since 2014. So it's been 10 years since he's put a record out.
Right. Would you be interested in a new Weird Al record? I don't even know what he would do.
I would. And we'll talk about like a bit of this as we talk about these records. But I just don't know where the market is for it in 2024. Yeah. But I also think that and looking at like some of his Amazon Prime stuff and stuff that's come out, it looks like he's just getting paid monster money for singles, which that's just what he should be doing.
Oh, is he doing a bunch of singles? I haven't really looked. I just looked at the albums we were drafting.
Yeah, it looks like he had a couple singles on there. But I mean, I feel like now would be the time for him to just put out singles, especially with streaming the way it is. And like he doesn't need to put a whole record out. But
right.
I would like to hear one, but we'll talk about how his labels have trend or his records have trended over a certain period, and we'll get to that.
Yeah. Weird Al has recorded more than 150 parodies and original songs and performed more than 1,000 live shows. His work has earned him 5 Grammy Awards and a further 11 nominations, 4 gold records and 6 platinum records in the US.
Yeah. He did it.
So, I mean, yeah, he's done a ton.
He did it in his lane. Like, he made a lane.
That's the thing, right? Like, that's it. Like, nobody else was doing this. Not really. Not
if they were level. It was just jokes for the radio.
Yeah. Like, nobody knew about it.
Other than a Weird Al song, can you even think of another, like, comedy parody song? I could think of one.
What about the I'm on a Boat dudes?
Lonely Island, yeah.
That's all I can think of.
But those
And that's not even parody. That's just them
No.
funny making music kind of thing. Like trying to throw jokes into songs.
The one I think of is that the Beach Boys, where it was about a vagina. Isn't that one that happened?
I have no idea. I just heard a Beach Boys cover of 99 Problems that somebody did with AI. The Jay-Z song, 99 Problems. Yeah.
That's a 00.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking. I wish I could remember. It was played on, and I don't know if this is in like the market is where you live, but the Bob and Tom radio show was huge forever.
I have no idea who that is.
Maybe it's mainly an East Coast thing. Maybe it's mainly East Coast. But they were huge. Like they had all kind of markets, and they had this guy on that was doing parody. He did parody songs, and the only one I really remember is the Beach Boys one where it's like about a vagina, I believe.
Weird.
That's as far as I'm getting. I don't want to Google it. I don't feel like having it on my history.
History? Yeah. Nobody wants that. But
other than Weird Al, that's kind of the only one that I can even think of a parody song that got any traction. And it obviously didn't get traction that
Not
Weird Alfred did because you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, no. Yankovic's success comes in part from his effective use of music videos to further parody pop culture. The song's original artist and the original music videos themselves, scene for scene in some cases. He directed later videos himself and went on to direct for other artists, including Ben Folds, Hanson, The Black Crowes, and the Presidents of the United States of America. Weird Al and Hanson seems a wild combination.
We've touched on this before. I'm guessing, first of all, you've probably never listened to a Hanson record at all.
My sister owned the one with Mbop on it, so I heard it through the wall, but I couldn't
they're
tell
still
you anything
putting,
other than Mbop.
They're still putting records out. And
That's crazy.
It is very good and digestible pop music.
Like adult contemporary shit?
I guess you could probably put it in there, but it's still it still feels poppy, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's, they are good. They're good at what they do. And there's a reason they still are around today putting records out because they've got a following at this point.
Right. I did know that Weird Al did work with Ben Folds. I forget the name of the, I think the name of the record was Songs for Silverman. And the song was Jesus Land, and Weird Al does backing vocals on that track. And I think he produced the track as well. Okay. And it's great. I like it a lot. With the decline of music television and the onset of social media, Weird Al used YouTube and other video sites to publish his videos. This strategy helped boost sales of his later albums. Yankovic has stated that he may forego traditional albums in favor of timely releases of singles from the 2010s onward. So like you said earlier, he might just be putting out singles and that's it. Like, probably won't be touching another full-length album again.
And he and realistically doesn't need to either.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way the market is. In addition to recording his albums, Yankovic wrote and starred in the 1989 film UHF and the 1997 television series The Weird Al Show. Did you ever see UHF?
I knew about UHF. I think I watched it when I first got Netflix, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. I think it was on there, and I was like, yeah, I'll watch UHF. I also confuse UHF with the Howard Stern movie, Private Parts.
Okay, yep.
They have, like, similar, at least they did on Netflix, they had similar,
they're, like pseudo-documentary kind of films.
Yeah, and I'm sure I watched them both, but I don't remember anything of either of them.
Right. I know UHF had Kramer from Seinfeld in it. That's about all I remember. Weird Al has produced two satirical films about his own life, The Complete Al in 1985 and Weird, the Al Yankovic story in 2022. Starring Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah, Harry Potter as Weird Al. It's weird.
But no, I have not seen it. I guess it would have been decent studying for this. It would have been decent research. But
probably should have.
Yeah, whatever. You know,
whatever. Weird Al has made guest appearances and performed voice acting roles on many television shows and video web content, in addition to starring in Al TV specials on MTV. He's also written two children's books, When I Grow Up in 2011 and My New Teacher and Me in 2013. I have one more piece of interesting info, in my opinion. It's kind of crazy.
Okay.
The Weird Al Star Fund was a campaign started by Yankovic's fans to get him a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Their mission was to solicit, collect, and raise the necessary money and to compile the information needed for the application to nominate Weird Al Yankovic for a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. On May 26, 2006, the campaign hit the then $15,000 target, just 5 days before the May 31st deadline to submit the necessary paperwork. However, Yankovic was not included on the list of inductees for 2007. On February 9th, 2007, the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce raised the price to sponsor a new star to $25,000. Yankovic's application was resubmitted for consideration in 2007, but he was not included among 2008's inductees. In December 2010, the price was raised again to $30,000, and in 2017, the price was raised to $40,000. The campaign raised the new target each time, and applications continued to be submitted yearly until the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce announced in June 2017 that Yankovic would become a star on the Walk of Fame as one of the 2018 inductees. In an official induction ceremony on August 27th, 2018, Al received the 2,643rd star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
It's cool. Like, it's a cool thing that you get, but it's all bullshit. Like, the fact that you have to pay for it and you have to, like, apply for it and all that shit, it's just, it feels weird.
Absolutely.
There's no
crazy
standard,
but
really, for what.
Like, how wild is it that they kept upping the price as he got, like, as he hit that milestone?
I don't think it was because of Weird Al.
No.
I agree.
I
think that's a coincidence.
Yeah, I think so too, but it's a crazy coincidence.
Although I like the idea that it was Weird Al. Like, this fucking guy.
That he did it again. Let's raise it another $5,000.
We cannot have this fucking weird guy on our fucking Walk of Fame. What do they think this is?
Right. Yeah. Put him by the dumpsters behind the Chinese theater. Well, that's it for notes. I mentioned it earlier. He released 14 studio albums.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't have a problem picking 5 each, I don't think.
Nope. And then we can speed run the last 4 as we do.
Yep.
Boldy had 14 also.
Wild.
Yeah, it is. That is weird.
Yeah.
Somehow Boldy's felt like it was less to get through. Like, that's not saying anything about these records, but
I will agree. Like, I'm not always in the mood for funny. right? Yeah. I'm
Scott. You're most, rarely. You yeah, barely put up with my shit here.
Yeah, most often I'm not in the mood for funny, and
you had a whole
this week. This week was kind of rough.
Well, I'm just glad you can blame nobody but yourself.
Yeah, it's all on me. I get it. I thought it was going to be fun listening to Weird Al and getting a chuckle every once in a while at work was rough.
Well, I won rock, paper, scissors. So I got first pick.
Yeah.
And first thing I want to ask, I guess, is do you own any Weird Al on vinyl?
Yes, I do.
Okay. We'll get to it.
Okay. Yeah.
Because as of now, I don't.
Yeah.
And I saw that last year, a couple years ago, he put out the complete works of Weird Al.
Really?
So like all of his vinyl, even the ones that are not pressed, are in this collection. And the collection comes in a replica accordion.
That's awesome. That's super cool.
I think only like 300 of them were made. And I imagine getting one is going to be crazy.
I kind of want to look it up now.
I want one. At this point, I saw that and I was like, I want that. I got to get that. I got to get my hands on that. So that being said, I may have had a different week than you. I quite enjoyed my week, if I'm being honest, awesome. For the most part. So my first
pick, I was slightly worried that you were going to have a rough go.
I had rough moments, but then I would just, you know, bail out and revisit, you know, one of those things. So
yeah. But I definitely had to like break up the funny.
I think like the first day I got through like five or six and I was like, okay. I got through a bunch. I can slow down and then, you know, take a breather a little bit.
Yeah. It's really start enjoying.
Yeah. But my first pick for the Weird Alfred, some people call him weird.
Yeah.
I just think he's a guy.
Here we go.
For the Weird Al discography draft, I got to take it, Scott. I'm pretty sure you saw this coming.
I have a feeling.
Straight out of Linwood.
Oh, yeah.
Straight out of Linwood. It rose to number 10 on the Billboard 200 peak position.
Did it really?
It did. It was number one on the U.S. comedy albums, obviously. I'm pretty sure every Weird Al record goes to number one on the comedy albums, but top 10 Billboard 200 feels crazy.
That's pretty nuts.
The single White Nerdy went number nine on the U.S. Hot 100. Number nine.
That was 10. All over the place.
Yeah.
Like that. I remember that video being just an insane rotation.
I think White Nerdy is what reestablished him as Weird Al. Like he was just kind of like floating along, and then White Nerdy re-put him into everything. White Nerdy obviously is a parody of Rad and Dirty by Chamillionaire.
Yeah.
Huge track. I'm going to be honest. Maybe it's as big as Rad and Dirty. Like White Nerdy may have gotten as big as Rad and Dirty.
I kind of feel that way too.
It's great. Canadian Idiot, which is a cover or a parody of American Idiot.
Yeah.
I would rather listen to it than the regular song, if I'm being 100%. Honest.
100%.
Polka-rama is an excellent medley.
I'm going to be honest. I love all the polka like melody songs on every single one of these records.
We could do a subdraft of the medleys because they're all so good.
I'd have to go back and like make notes on everyone because I don't remember what songs are in each one. I just remember loving it every single time it popped up on every record.
Another part of the medleys that I love, and we'll touch on this with the other medleys, is there's like just enough of every song. Some of those songs I don't like, you give me that much of it and I like it. Like that's all I
just
need.
Just a little 15 second clip of each song. Yeah.
Yes.
That was when I messaged you in the week. I was like, listening to this makes me want to listen to like the normal versions of these songs.
Yeah, it'd be too much. I don't need most of those songs.
Oh yeah. But like there were a few that hit me. I was like, oh man.
Confessions Part 3, which is a parody of Confessions Part 2. Oh my God.
One of the best songs he has ever put out. I laughed my ass off at work listening to that song. I just couldn't stop laughing.
There were some audible laughs. I don't laugh a lot out loud alone. Yeah. Like it just doesn't really happen.
I don't usually either, but Confessions Part 3, my God, it's so good.
Do I Creep You Out, which is a parody of Do I Make You Proud by Taylor Hicks, is great. That's another great parody.
Oh, that's who it was. Yeah. I was trying to remember who the hell the original song was by.
Taylor Hicks.
Yeah, that's right.
Now here we hit what puts this record at number one in the Weird Al, Trapped in the Drive-Thru.
So funny. So, so funny.
It is a parody of Trapped in the Closet by R. Kelly, and it's perfect. It's exactly what I need. This track is going in a rotation. I will put this song on randomly all the time. I need Weird Al to do entire R. Kelly albums parodied so I can listen to these songs. Because, goddamn it, I guess we'll get into it. Weird Al knows exactly the beats to hit in these songs to make them sound exactly like the songs. Like,
for sure.
They're absolutely parodies, but there's also moments where he will have, like, parody lyric, regular lyric, parody lyric, parody lyric.
Right.
And those regular lyrics are always the most, like, visceral and hard-hitting lyrics that make you be, oh, yep, there it is.
Yeah.
He just had such an ear for this kind of music. It's unreal. I think it's perfect. I think Trapped in the Drive-Thru is amazing. I'll take it.
It's so funny.
For an hour. Play it for an hour. I don't even care. Just keep it going.
They forgot the onions.
Also, Don't Download This is an excellent closer. It was the first single, I believe, and it's a pastiche. It's a pastiche of the charity songs, like the We Are the World.
Everything.
Well, I guess since I chose this song, I can get into how I feel about his things going forward. I think Weird Al, when he started, he really had it pinpointed and he had his finger on the pulse. Now he has his finger half on the pulse, but then he'll go and do a song by a special from the 1960s. So, like, he doesn't have a signature. Like, he'll do Rage Against the Machine, and then
Weasel Stomping Day.
And then he'll do Cake. You know what I mean? Right. Like, he's all over the place. I appreciate it because of my musical ADD, but I don't think it helps him as a man putting out a record that there's so many different shit on here that, especially a kid listening to this, no idea. It's not right. They don't care. They do not
care.
So straight out of Linwood, Scott, my first pick.
Nice
pick. What
do
you got? Apparently it wasn't your first, so what do you got?
No, it wasn't, but that was a good pick. My first pick, coming into Weird Al the time I did, like, I was aware of his older stuff, but this one really hit. I'm going with Bad Hair Day.
Okay.
Yeah, this was the Amish Paradise album, along with the more early 90s alternative music that had come out. So you have, of course, starting the record off, you have Amish Paradise, which is the Gangsta's Paradise by Coolio parody that took on a whole life of its own.
One of his biggest.
Yeah, but Coolio was really mad. Like, I think Coolio is the only artist that has been really upset with Weird Al parodying
There were others, and then there were ones where they made it seem like the artist was okay. Because from what I read about the Amish Paradise situation, and it looks like Weird Al reached out, and Coolio's record label said yes. But Weird Al said, no, check with Coolio. And they said, oh, no, we did. It's good. And then he did the song, and they never checked with Coolio.
No, they didn't.
But there's other, like, from Straight Out of Linwood, he wanted to do a James Blunt cover or parody of You're Beautiful, which was called You're Miserable or something like that. And James Blunt agreed and said, yeah. And then once he did it was like 2 weeks before the record was coming out. And his record label said, James Blunt's too young of an artist. We don't want the parody to overshadow him. So no, take it off.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's other situations where where people, like, have agreed and then come back on it. But, you know, Coolio was upset.
But he was upset. And this was a huge hit for Weird Al. Like what you said about White and Nerdy, Amish Paradise was that one that put him upper echelon with this, with, at the time.
Where do you think it went on the Hot 100 peak position?
I would say above 50.
It's going to surprise you. 53.
Really? I would have thought higher.
It felt higher.
Because it was huge, man. It was huge.
I mean, the record itself, two-time platinum, and it went, it peak position on the Billboard 200 was 14. So it still sold like crazy.
Right, yeah. Yeah, the I Amish remember. Paradise was giant. I was 14 at the time, and boy, was this hilarious. Because, I mean, Gangsta's Paradise came out, what, a couple years before? And it was so serious, and, you know, everybody knew all the words to it. And then Weird Al coming out with Amish Paradise was so hilarious. Maybe it's more a Midwest thing. Like, the Amish, when we go up to my grandparents' house, we pass like an Amish community, and there's horse and buggies riding out along the side of the road and stuff. So it's like, I know those dudes.
I'm pretty sure Pennsylvania is one of the most densely Amish populated states. I know the Amish quite well. I know the Amish quite well. And I think that was the first, I think that's what made me aware of Weird Al. Like, I think that's the first Weird Al song I ever heard, if I'm being honest. I heard one here or there, but I'm pretty sure that's probably the first one.
Right. Yeah, it was huge. It was huge. I also like Calling In Sick in the style of grunge. I think that's funny. And then Alternative Polka, of course, we just talked about it. I mean, you can't get more Scott than grunge polka in a Weird Al draft.
I think Calling In Sick is better than a lot of grunge.
I mean, I knew you would.
That's where I'm at with that. That's
Also a big fan of Gump.
But Lump.
Yeah. And then Syndicated Ink in the style of Misery by Soul Asylum. I love that Misery song. Love it. And then
I don't think I know it.
It's a slower alternative. I'm going to say alternative instead of grunge because it's not grunge.
Yeah.
But Soul Asylum at the time, very alternative rock. And I loved it. And then Phony Calls
is a great song.
Oh my God. It's so great.
Excellent. It's excellent.
Yep. Yeah. And then,
I think it's top 10. Like, I would put Phony Calls in his top 10 of his songs. I love it so
much.
It's
so good. Yeah, I do too. Mm-hmm. And then The Night Santa Went Crazy. If you don't take it in the next Christmas draft, I'm all over it.
I have written down, I said, I may draft this in the next year's Christmas song draft.
100%. It's great. It's
pretty fucking good. It's pretty so fucking great. Good.
So great. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the only a couple things that brings this one down for me, other than like the ones I don't really like, I don't know Elvis Costello enough to know the pastiche I'm So Sick of You. Yeah. I don't know who Hilly Michaels is to know the style pastiche for I Remember Larry.
Right.
I don't like Dental Work or U2, so Cavity Search did not help me at all.
I actually kind of that's like one of two U2 songs that I don't mind.
Okay.
So I thought it was good.
I'm glad you did.
That's
the only things bringing this down, though. Like, TLC is a killer. The Phony Calls, the TLC song, Waterfalls is a killer. And Amish Paradise is one of his biggest of all time. I think we may have taken his top two songs of all time.
The two, yeah, I think so.
I think.
Yeah.
So, Scott, I get my top two. I'm excited. I got what would have been my number two. And I got to do it, Scott. Rising to number 17. On the Billboard 200.
Okay.
It is Poodle Hat,
Scott. Okay, yeah.
First of all, it opens up with Couch Potato, which is a parody of Lose Yourself by Eminem.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. It's freaking funny.
But it also, Weird Al is an incredible songwriter. Like, I get it. They're comedy songs, they're joke songs. He is legitimately rapping. And he wrote some
like
amazing
he's actually rap. Doing it. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's some really good stuff. I think part of my enjoyment, and I think this is why I maybe didn't like Weird Al as much in the past, is because I would listen to it only for the comedy. When you listen to Weird Al now, and I'll hear, like, you know the song, you hear what he's saying, and then you're trying to figure out where he's going. Like, you're like, I see what's coming. And then he twists it, and it's something completely different. I love it so much. I love when he swerves me and it's something different, but still funny. Like, fucking good on you, man. You're a great songwriter.
For sure. Yeah.
Trash Day, The Hot in Here by Nelly is also a fantastic song. Party at the Leper Colony, the Bo Diddley pastiche, is super fun. Super fun. Also, I didn't know that's what that was called, that the Bo Diddley beat pastiche. I didn't know that's what that was called, but
oh, okay.
I get it now, I guess.
Yeah.
The Angry White Boy Polka
is
the best of the polkas, Scott.
It's so they funny. Have
Limp Bizkit, Papa Roach, Kid Rock, System of a Down in there. It's all killer. I love it. I love
starting that starting it off one. With Papa Roach. I was like, oh my God, he's doing this.
It would absolutely be my number one polka if we were drafting the medleys. Number one. Angry Wipeable Polka. So fucking good.
Gotcha.
A Complicated Song, which is complicated, complicated by Avril Lavigne parody.
Yeah.
Iffy in the first verse. Because it's like constipated. Okay, yeah. You know my feelings on this. I don't like poop humor. Weird Al gets away with it because he doesn't get too in the weeds with it. Like, he just says it and moves past it.
Yeah.
But it really kicks in, and I'm a big fan of that song. Why does this always happen to me? The Ben Folds pastiche is so good. Especially now that I know Ben Folds. And hearing it, I'm just like, this is Ben Folds. This is unreal.
Yeah.
This is unreal. Yeah. It's so good.
Super good.
Ode to a Superhero, the Piano Man Billy Joel parody, is the closest I can get to listening to Piano Man. And I kind of still don't even want to hear it again. But it was very well done. I appreciated the song for what it was, as not only a comic guy, but as a comedy guy. I liked it. But I cannot hear Piano Man again. I'm so over that song. More than any Beatles song. More than maybe any song, Scott. I don't ever want to hear Piano Man again. I am over it. Billy Joel, go suck an egg or something. I'm out.
So me bringing you Billy Joel next week is not...
Hopefully it's not that record. I just don't want it to be that record. If it is, I'm skipping Piano Man. eBay... which is an I Want It That Way Backstreet Boys parody, is so accurate.
It's so funny.
So perfect. Like, if you've ever done anything on eBay, it's
like, it's this. Before. Yeah.
Which makes me believe Weird Al's on eBay buying some weird shit. I could see
it. I was thinking that too.
Genius in France is really the only negative on this one. It's too long, and I don't care about or know about Frank Zappa music enough to get it.
I don't either. I hardly know anything about Frank Zappa.
That's where I'm at.
But yeah, it's a long track.
Yeah, if I cut that, it's a much better record. Although this one's pretty long, so you cut that 10 minutes and you're good. You're good to go.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you got next, Scott?
I got my top two now, and I'm stoked about it. This one I actually own on vinyl, coming out in 1984.
Okay.
Weird Al Yankovic in 3D. Starting it off with Michael Jackson's Beat It, but changing it to Eat It, fantastic. I absolutely love it. Yeah, so good. Midnight Star is hilarious. It's about tabloid rag sheets. I think it's really funny.
I think it's actually just a good song also.
Right.
Like, it actually is just a good quality song.
The Brady Bunch song is really funny.
Agreed.
I don't really know Men Without Hats all that well, but I think I know the single.
You know the Safety Dance. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I can get down with the Bob Marley pastiche on Buy Me a Condo. It seems kind of wrong, but I love Bob Marley. I lost on Jeopardy.
Super fun. And I love Jeopardy. Yeah. So it's a win-win.
I love Jeopardy too. Yeah.
I don't know who the Greg Ginn Band are.
Yeah, I barely know.
Okay.
But, like, I see the record at Second and Charles all the time.
All right. Yeah, that helps you, I guess.
Yep. Polka's on 45. Awesome medley.
It feels really long, though. That medley feels extra long.
Yeah. I think it's because...
Not against it. But
no, like, but I think it's because it's older songs. Maybe that's it feels longer. Mr. Pompeo in the style of B-52s feels kind of weird, but fun. It's fun, I guess. It's a mark against the record for me, but I think it's all right.
I like it. I like Mr. Pompeo. I'm a fan of it. Yeah, I do.
Okay. King of Suede, I think it's hilarious. But my favorite song, I think, on this is Theme from Rocky 13 in the style of Eye of the Tiger by Survivor. Because, like, it's about Rocky getting old, right? And owning a deli. And didn't that happen in the Rocky movies? Like, I think it was Balboa where he goes up against the newest fighter or whatever. But, like, he owns a restaurant and he's way past his prime. And I think it's just funny how I feel like Sylvester Stallone took the idea for Balboa from this Weird Al song.
I think that this song, theme from Rocky 13,
10, yeah.
13, 13, is a masterpiece.
I think it's fantastic. Excellent. It's so
the
fantastic.
Rye or the Kaiser is, I will never sing it another way.
Yes.
I will not sing it another way from here on out. It is the Rye or the Kaiser. That's it. We're done.
It's so funny. So funny.
I think The Boy Could Dance is just another good song, and it's an original, a Weird Al original. I think it's just a solid, good song.
Yeah.
Do you want to guess where Eat It went on the US 100? I will tell you the album itself went 17 on the Billboard 200.
Oh, that's pretty sweet. I imagine Eat It's probably the reason.
I will probably say that, yes.
I would guess top 20.
Just to give you some context, I Lost on Jeopardy went to 81, and King of Suede went to 62.
Oh, okay. Maybe 25.
Eat It went to peak position number 12.
Nice.
So top solid. 15.
Yeah.
Top 15. Good solid. Shit. I want to own all of Weird Al on vinyl in that giant accordion. I don't know when I'd play them, though. That's the other thing. But
just having it would be awesome, though.
I agree. Well, I guess I'm getting my top three. All right.
There you go.
So here we go, Scott. And I think it'll be pretty clear why and where I'm at with these, because for my third pick, I thought you were going to take this one, and I was bummed because I wanted this one. It's my three, so I'm glad I'm getting it. Running with Scissors.
I had a feeling, yeah.
10th studio record by Weird Al. Jesus Christ. It's wild. It's wild to say that. The record itself went to number 16 on the U.S. Billboard 200. Its single, highest charting single, didn't reach anything. There was none in U.S. None of them even made it on the U.S. charts. But in Australia, Pretty Fly for a Rabbi went to 67. But we'll get to that song in a second because I know you want to talk about that song. The Saga Begins, which is American Pie. Wasn't even immediately recognizable to me, but once it kicks in, this shit rips. Like, it is great. I didn't recognize it as the Don McLean song at all.
Yeah.
But Pretty Fly for a Rabbi, Scott. It rips so hard. That song goes so hard. I love it so much. It's like some of these songs I like, but they're overplayed. So when I hear him do it, it's like, oh, no, this is a different song. I'm all right. I can listen to this. Like, I still get the vibe of the song, but the song itself is overplayed. So when I hear this, I'm like, yeah, I fucking love it. Let's go.
Right.
The same could be said about the show itself may have been, may be a little too dated now, but the song Jerry Springer hurts this a bit.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I think the show itself is as dated as this song was. Like, I think if we would revisit Jerry Springer's show, we'd be like, oh no, Jerry, what were we doing?
Yeah. It's like, I forgot, because I used to watch Jerry Springer pretty often, and I forgot just how terrible of a show it was.
Yeah, it wasn't. Maury seemed to respect people a little bit.
Yeah, I got some terrible PTSD flashbacks listening to this song.
We have Germs, which is a Nine Inch Nails pastiche, which is great. Another great situation there. It's All About the Pentiums, Scott.
Man.
Which is a parody of It's All About the Benjamins by P. Diddy, Puff Daddy. Yep. It is great. What a great piece that is. It's crazy. Truck Driving Song, which is a truck driving country pastiche, is so good. I'll take that song alone by itself on just a single. Give me the single of that. It's great. Zoot Suit Riot parody, Grapefruit Diet.
Yeah.
It makes the swing resurgence seem better than it was. Because you remember, there was that swing resurgence.
Yeah.
The Cherry Pop and Daddies came out and they were like, this is what's going on now, guys. And it's all yep. right. All right. Put your 15 button suits away and come on. Albuquerque, which is the Rugburns pastiche. I don't know who the Rugburns are.
Yeah, neither do I.
But it kind of could have been a Suicidal Tendencies pastiche also, it felt like.
Right.
I enjoyed it, even if it goes long by about 6 minutes. The Rug Albuquerque is. It's like 11 and a half minutes long. It's a little too long.
But, yeah.
Man, I liked this record a lot, too. This is where it really started kicking in for me, as you can tell, because I took this and the next two. I was like, oh, yeah. But it comes because those are the songs I'm more familiar with.
Right.
That's when I'm locked in to pop music. So obviously I'm going to know a lot of
them. You're going to know those songs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
I think we kind of had that discussion before we did this.
Yeah.
Because you said, I don't know that I'm going to know the songs that he jokes about.
Yes, I definitely said that. So, Scott, what do you got for your third pick?
I'm pretty stoked to get this one. Yeah, I'm just stoked. Dare to be Stupid.
Fuck, that'd be my next one.
Was it?
First one you got for me, yeah.
I love this. I love listening to this record. Like a Surgeon, his little, hey! Perfect Madonna. I love starting off like that and then kicking into like a Devo pastiche with the title track, Dare to Be Stupid. Loved it. I'm kind of a big Huey Lewis and the News fan.
Same. Yeah.
And I Want a New Duck is hilarious.
A parody of I Want a New Drug. Yeah. This is... The reason I love this record so much, why it would have been my next one, is because it's just so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, it's so dumb where there is no stakes. Every single one is like, this
exactly.
is so stupid that it's hilarious. Like, it goes past goofy to just dumb.
To just stupid.
But, like, knowing that Weird Al is very intelligent and how he can write songs to be smart, knowing that this is an effort he put in to make these dumb makes it feel that much better to me.
Like, oh,
it's just
for sure.
So dumb. Just so dumb.
Yeah. One More Minute in the style of Elvis Presley. Kind of, it was pretty funny. But following that up with Yoda and like doing a parody of Lola by the Kinks. Yo, 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 Yoda. Really so funny, especially as so a Star good. Wars fan. I absolutely love it. The cover of George of the Jungle seemed kind of weird to me. Like
just a straight up cover. It's just a straight up cover.
I found myself like thinking he was going to do a polka medley of like cartoon shows. And it was, it was just a straight up cover of George of the Jungle. So that was kind of weird.
He just loves the song.
Yeah. He was just like, who doesn't love George of the Jungle? Slime Creatures from Outer Space. In the style of a sci-fi soundtrack. Pretty funny. But another highlight on this record for me, Girls Just Want to Have Lunch.
1,000%.
A parody of Girls Just Want to Have Fun by Cyndi Lauper. Oh my God. This is another one that had me audibly giggle at least at work.
Yeah.
It's so fun. And so, like you said, it's so stupid and no stakes. Mm-hmm. Like, who doesn't love lunch?
I think this song is a great example of why Weird Al was so successful and why Weird Al became Weird Al. Because especially in 85, that's when this came out, right? 85?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially in 85, parody song to Girls Just Want to Have Fun could have went so sexist, so misogynist, so anti-woman. But just to be like, Girls Just Want to Have Lunch. Like, just dumb, stupid, great.
Exactly.
I think that's why it's good, because he's not out there actively making fun of an individual. He's not out there actively trying to make a point with these songs. They're just, fucking fun songs.
It's just fun songs.
They're fun songs.
Yeah.
Girls Just Want to Have Lunch is unbelievable.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of This Is the Life, too, in that 20s and 30s music style. I think it's great. And then ending the record on a polka medley. I love that move. Okay. Love it.
Yeah. All the medleys are great. They're always great. always great. Yep. I've nothing negative to say about one medley at all. The record Dare to Be Stupid didn't top. Rose to a peak position of 50 on the US Billboard 200. The only single that charted like a surgeon. Any guesses?
Yeah. Probably pretty low. I'm getting below 50, maybe.
47.
Okay. So right around
47.
Yep.
But good record. It would have been my next one. So now I'm all turned around and I got to figure out where I'm going next. I mean, I guess you're going to see this one coming if you were following what I got going on so far. No, I'm going to take Alpocalypse, the 13th studio album by Weird Al. And
you definitely have a niche spot in Al's discography.
Oh, yeah. And Al's 7th studio album that he self-produced, which also incredible.
Oh, did he really?
That's incredible. Yeah, because Rick Derringer was his producer for the first 4 or 5.
Okay.
And then Rick left him, or they like came to an agreement. I don't know. But he started self-producing.
Okay.
So Alpocalypse rose to peak position of number 9 on the Billboard 200. Obviously number 1 in the top comedy albums.
Yeah.
Perform This Way, Scott.
Which I thought you were going to take this. I honestly thought this was going to be your first pick.
Yeah, you'll find out why. I'll explain why some of it did. And some of it harkens back to, like, he'll do Lady Gaga. He'll do the Taylor Swift. And then The Doors. Like, it's weird. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? But Perform This Way, the Born This Way Lady Gaga parody, great. I love Lady Gaga. You know that.
Yep.
CNR, which is the White Stripes pastiche.
Yeah.
I think it's his first miss.
Okay.
I don't even hear the pastiche until I looked and saw that it was the White Stripes.
That was supposed to be White Stripes. Yeah.
It feels too full. There's not enough drums.
I was going to say, the thing with White Stripes is they're so sparse. Mm-hmm. And in this song, it's a complete song. It's not just terrible guitars and really hollow drums with a whiny voice.
I didn't go that far, but
I know. I guess I can kind of see the pastiche, but it's kind of a miss for me.
TMZ, which is the You Belong With Me by Taylor Swift. Excellent.
I thought that was hilarious.
So great. And it's very applicable because she is the most famous person in the world currently.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Skipper Dan, which is the Weezer pastiche.
Yeah.
Scott, I just think it's a good song. I don't even see it as a pastiche. It's just a good song.
Yeah, it's just a good song.
Polka Face is obviously great. Medleys always are.
Medley.
And I love throwing another Lady Gaga song in there.
I was surprised that there was another Lady Gaga song on the record.
Party in the CIA, which is Party in the USA, so excellent. Yeah. And the song itself to me, and that's what a lot of these are. Some of these songs are so undeniable that as long as I hear the bones of the song, I'm into it.
Right.
Because they're so undeniable. Whatever You Like, the T.I. parody of Whatever You Like.
Yeah.
It's fantastic and also a great track at its core. Like, Whatever You Like is great as a song. So then when he does it, it's still great. Like, it's still a great song.
Yeah.
And then, this is what I'm talking about. Then he stopped forwarding that crap to me, a parody of Jim Steinman. What are we doing, Weird Al?
That is a weird move.
I also see from the other aspect of, like, maybe these are for your old fans to have something in here. But your old fans buying records? Are your old fans streaming this? That's the issue. But again, I feel like Weird Al's maybe never cared about the numbers. I mean, obviously he cares about
I don't think it's been a thing for him in a while.
But he also pays out royalties to all of these people he's parodying also. You know what I mean?
That's
he credits them as writers, so he's paying them. He's not making even half the money that they are making off their original songs because he's parodying them and paying them royalties. I don't know. But that's why some of these records later started getting weird, because he would have these giant modern current pop hits and then, who's the Queen's here? Great.
Yeah. I do like the Queen song though. Ringtone.
I don't dislike them. I'm not saying I dislike any of them, but it just, it feels disconnected because you're doing this giant biggest hit of the time and then Jim Steinman.
Yeah. Very, very weird. Very weird moves.
So I took Apocalypse, Scott. Where are you at?
You did. Where am I going to go? There's still a lot of really good records.
I don't think he has a bad record. There's definitely ones I like more, but even my ratings of his individual records, there's only one that even gets... I only have one that's at a... 7 is the lowest rating I have for any of his records.
Oh, wow. Okay. Screw it. I'm going to go with even worse.
Okay.
Starting off with another Michael Jackson song. I don't think... I think Weird Al doing Michael Jackson songs is like the greatest thing ever. And I really think that Michael Jackson probably has a really great sense of humor about it.
He probably loved it. I could see him giggling about it.
I totally see that happening. Like, I see Weird Al sending a copy over to Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson throwing it on a reel-to-reel, huge speakers, and listening to Fat and just giggling in his high-pitched, nasal, reworked plastic nose voice. Man, I love Fat. I think it's so hilarious.
I think it's great. I don't have any connection to the original. Like, I don't have a connection to Bad. And then I don't have, like, any nostalgia with Fat, although I'm aware of it. So it's good, but I don't have any connection to the parody or the OG. So it's just like, okay, it's a good one. It's a good one.
I absolutely love it. And I love that he took the cover of Bad as the cover for Even Worse. I think it's hilarious.
Agreed.
This song is just 6 words long. In the style of Got My Mind Set on You by George Harrison. Let me tell you how many times I tried to count this song is just 6 words long to see if it was 6 words long, and it's definitely not. It's so great.
I am unfamiliar with a lot of George Harrison, and on our last draft, actually, no, it would have been, there was an episode a couple weeks ago where I like declared war on George Harrison for some reason.
Yeah, it was a weird move.
I don't remember why it was happening. I just remember calling him an insignificant Beatle. And then
he said something like that. I think I was like, whoa, he's my second favorite Beatle.
and I began to rank the Beatles. And then you were mad about that because I put both John Lennon and Paul McCartney's clone and Paul McCartney above George Harrison.
George Harrison.
You were not happy.
Yeah, no, that was completely wrong. Yeah. I think I'm a clone now. Man.
That's great.
It's so good. Lasagna in the style of La Bamba.
La 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 lasagna.
Yeah. It might be problematic against Italian people, but...
Not a thing.
No, okay, not a thing. Good. Keep it rolling. It's fantastic. It's so hilarious. Alimony in the style of Billy Idol's Money Money. Love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah. And then we did a draft. We did a Beastie Boys draft. Sure, and we both stated how we're not huge Beastie Boys fans. But Weird Al doing the Beastie Boys pastiche. Hilarious. So funny.
It might be better.
It's 100% better. It's great.
I also think it's his first foray into hip hop too, which is important for him career later.
Well, I mean in 88 too.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. It's wild.
Think about it that way. The Beastie Boys, I don't think Al would have been comfortable doing a hip hop song if it wasn't for these Jewish boys doing hip hop.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Because then I was like, hold on, I'm a Jewish man.
I can do this too.
I can get involved.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, no, it's great. And then the only one you didn't mention that I'm a fan that I was a fan of is Stuck in a Closet with Vanna White.
That is really funny.
Is a style it's style pastiche of Van Halen or Aerosmith. I'm not quite sure.
Sure.
But it's damn good. Even at 5 minutes, that's a damn good song. A big fan of it. The record itself, peak position of 27 on the U.S. Billboard, did not have any charting singles.
It didn't. Oh, that's kind of surprising to me.
La 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 lasagna.
I'm surprised Fat didn't chart at all.
I know, me too. But it did not.
Yeah. All right.
But it did sell a million records. It is certified platinum. So
Yeah. Great stuff.
All right. So for my final pick before the lightning rounds, what do we got?
Yeah.
Here? What do we got here? What do we got here?
I mean, we definitely have a good chunk still.
Yeah. So I'm just going to go by my rankings here. And sure. I mean, everybody's going to see this one coming, I guess. Mandatory Fun.
Okay.
His last album. And I assume he might not put another album out. Like, if he put out his The Complete Works of in a collected set, maybe he never puts another album out. Maybe that's his plan. I don't know.
Maybe not.
But Mandatory Fun came out 2014. Let me see if it charted. I mean, it was probably the number one comedy record, but let's see if it charted.
Right.
It was a number one comedy record. Oh, my God.
This one didn't really hit me at all.
Scott, U.S. Billboard 200 top position one.
What?
This was a number one
it
record.
Went number one?
Yeah.
Wow. Number okay.
One record in 2014. And
wow.
I'm going to guess this didn't hit you because you have almost zero connection to any of these pop songs. Also, that doesn't help you.
That might be it. There's a few, but man, yeah, it just didn't really work for me that much.
Handy, the opener, which is a Fancy by Iggy Azalea parody, which for some reason, there's some part of that song that it pleases me. It's not a good song. I like this. I like Handy. It somehow makes it okay for me to listen to it. Like I'm good okay. listening to that. But see, this is the thing I'm talking about of Bill's later albums. He does that, and then he goes into a style parody of Southern culture on the Skids.
Yeah.
With lame claim to fame.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Foil, which is Royals by Lorde.
I like this song.
I remember when it came out, I was so into this track that I was watching YouTube videos left and right of covers and parodies and everything. I loved the song so much. I remember watching the music video. So like I remember this music video.
Or
yes.
Foil.
No, of Foil.
Okay, gotcha. I didn't know there was a video for Foil.
Yes. 100, yeah. He's wearing like a foil hat in it. What he's talking about, you know, protecting his brain. It's great.
Yeah.
I think Foil may have been that little crack in the armor that led me to enjoying all of the Weird Al I did when I did this visit. Because when I liked Foil, because I wouldn't have been into Weird Al at the time at all. And when I saw that, I was like, you know, it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. It's pretty harmless. Like there's nothing.
That's kind of the whole thing about Weird Al, right? I mean, he's just fun and really mostly harmless. Like, it's just fun. Yeah.
Yeah. The only time there's, quote, harm is when things age poorly and he was just kind of
exactly.
going with the time.
Yeah.
Which is 100%. A bummer, but those are also much less than if it would have been anybody else doing this music.
Right. Right.
Word Crimes, which is the Blurred Lines Robin Thicke parody, is excellent. We have another great medley with Now That's What I Call Polka.
Mm-hmm.
And then here we go again. This is what I'm talking about. Then we got a style parody of Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yeah, style. Really weird. Really weird. maybe that's something that didn't work for me on this record, too, was like it was so apparent, the big swings.
Well, you can also tell he has an anchor set in a certain time period. Like, you can tell what he loves. I think Weird Al still loves pop music, and that's why he's parodying these songs. I think he still loves the radio. But it's very clear, especially when you get to, like, the parody of Cat Stevens and shit. Like, he's still listening to what he loves to listen to, without a doubt.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Inactive, which is the parody of Radioactive by Imagine Dragons. This is the only way I ever want to hear this melody again. I never want to hear.
Man, when he came out with the inhaler on that, I was like, Emily would still hate this song because she hates that one part, the breathing in the chemicals part. And then the, she hates that. And then like the inhaler part on this parody, I was like, oh my God, she still would hate this.
And then the same thing goes for Tacky, which is the Happy by Pharrell song.
Yeah,
I don't want to hear that melody ever again, except when it's here. Like I'm good on all of it. First World Problems, which is a pastiche of the Pixies, is good, even though if I'm not
I like
super
that one. I like that one. I also like the Pixies a lot. So
But yeah, mandatory fun. My last pick, Scott. What do you got for your last
pick? Man, there's still a lot of good going on here. If I'm honest, I'm in between two. I think I'm just going to take the first record. I'm going to take his self-titled record, Weird Al Yankovic.
Self-titled. Self-titled for Scott.
I love the Mickey parody.
Oh, it's great.
The Ricky and man, why can't I think of her name now?
Lucille Ball. I love Lucy.
Lucille Ball. Yeah, Lucille Ball. I think it's just great. And starting off your first record with another singer on the song with you, a female singer, is a wild move, but it seems so very Weird Al.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely loved it. I love Rocky Road. Fantastic.
I think it's great, the parody of I Love Rock and Roll. Aside from all the flatulent sounds.
The only way he gets away with those sounds is because I know it's the first record and he's just trying to make music out of anything that's inexpensive.
Yeah.
So making mouth noises into harmonies, making fart noises with your hands, banging on the accordion case as a form of drum. I give him a pass on all of that.
Like you said, though, the I Love Lucy parody of Mickey at the beginning made me so, like that being the opener, made me so optimistic for the rest of his discography. I was just like, oh, this is dumb fun. I'm in for this.
Yeah,
I'm in.
100%.
And then, because I'm going to be honest, if I Love Rocky Road opens that and it's nothing but flatulent sounds at the beginning, I have a different outlook on these 14 albums, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I'm anticipating that and I don't want that.
Yeah, for sure. My Bologna, however you want to say it.
Yeah.
So great. Such a great parody of My Sharona. I will say My Bologna forever instead of My
Sharona.
Same
with Another One Rides the Bus. Another One Rides the Bus, same thing. I love it.
Man, I absolutely love it. The Checks in the Mail, I think, is really funny. I'll Be Mellow When I'm Dead. Mr. Frump in the Iron Lung. Emily and I had a long conversation of what an iron lung is. She didn't know. And I was like, well, you hear those noises in the background, the like that's an iron lung. Like you get put in this like big metal tube and it breathes for you.
You know, there's only like one guy left. Maybe it's only in America. Maybe he's not in America. I don't know. But he's been in an iron lung for 50 years. Like he has.
It's crazy.
He's been in an iron lung for 50 years. And I just saw an article about it a month or so ago, which is why I even thought about it. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, you mentioned Another One Rides the Bus. Man, I love that. Love that song. Anybody who's ever ridden a bus before can understand the pitfalls of riding the bus.
I like him ending it with three originals though. That's very bold for your debut record though, also.
Yeah. It's and they're just fun songs. Fun tracks.
His debut album rose to 139 on the Billboard 200. Three awesome charting singles. We have Another One Rides the Bus went to 104. Ricky went to 63. And I Love Rocky Road went to 106.
I would have thought that one would have went higher.
You'd have been wrong.
Yeah, I would have been wrong. All right,
Scott, two quick lightning rounds here.
Knock it out.
We don't need to talk about them. We'll just take them. My first one for the lightning round, I'm going to take Alapalooza. I was a fan of it. What do you got?
I'm going to go with, I'll take Polka Party.
Okay. Good take.
Yeah.
I'll take Off the Deep End then.
I'm going to leave you with the soundtrack.
With the soundtrack.
Which is fine because that Spam track in the style of REM, fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it.
Yeah. That the only bummer about us taking those in lightning rounds, like especially on Alapalooza, where he does a pastiche of REM's early work.
Yeah.
Sonically, it's so good. But the downfall is most of REM is not, especially the early stuff, is not being able to understand Michael Stipe. So having a comedy song where he's saying things that make sense doesn't work really for REM because he should be able to understand it.
Right.
And then we also didn't get to talk about the Nirvana smells like Nirvana.
Smells like Nirvana
parody.
And
I was wondering where you sat with that.
I don't mind it. I think it's funny. I love the marble garble zouse with all these marbles in my mouth. I think that's hilarious. And another situation where I feel like the dudes in Nirvana heard that song and laughed their asses off. I think Dave Grohl and Kurt and Chris probably were 100% all about Weird Al doing a parody of their gigantic hit and just having a good time with it.
And I would rather listen to Smells Like Nirvana than Smells Like Teen Spirit at this point. At least it gives me something.
Yeah, the reason I didn't take it in the draft proper is because there's so many other like kind of weird songs on it. Like Trigger Happy. Absolutely. Trigger Happy is definitely not a song that aged well. I'm also not a huge Beach Boys fan. And to have a Beach Boys song about... I felt like it was about some Southern dude who's just all about his guns. I don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it didn't.
REM's in the medley, so that doesn't
matter for me. And the white stuff about Oreos and the style of New Kids on the Block was pretty funny. Yeah.
It's great.
Yep.
All right. So to wrap up here, Scott, I had the first pick. I took Straight Out of Linwood, Poodle Hat, Running with Scissors, Alpocalypse, and Mandatory Fun. And then the lightning round, I took Alapalooza and Off the Deep End. You had the second pick. You took Bad Hair Day, Weird Al Yankovic in 3D, Dare to be Stupid, Even Worse, Weird Al Yankovic. And then in the lightning round, you took Polka Party and UHF Soundtrack. Solid draft. I had fun this week listening to Weird Al.
Yeah. I'm really happy with how the draft ended up.
As like, am I. And I kind of saw it going this way. Because you
kind of
took
too.
Songs that were bigger in your childhood, I guess, if you will, even though some of the pop songs that I took weren't in my childhood. Whatever. I was locked in on pop music, so Weird Al did for me this song.
Right.
This might have been all you were listening to this week, Scott, but do you still have a record of the week?
I do have a record of the week, and I had to go to the complete opposite side of the musical spectrum to do a bit of a palate cleanser. My record of the week is the Uncle Murda record, Lenny Grant's Story. You put me onto this one, and it's fantastic. I absolutely love it. Uncle Murda, is he coming out of the Drumworks camp, or is he part of Griselda at all?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think.
I think he's much older than that. But man, it felt like a Griselda record. I love how personal it is. I love how gritty it is.
He signed to 50 Cent's G-Unit Records in 2016.
Okay.
And that's after he was signed to Rockefeller in 2007.
Oh, there it is. He's my dude.
He went from Rockefeller to 50 Cent's G-Unit. And he's probably independent now, if I'm being honest.
Probably, yeah. But I absolutely loved the record. I think it's fantastic. Yeah, one of the best hip-hop records I've heard this year so far.
So my record of the week... I didn't listen to much this week aside from Weird Al. I listened to a couple things, though. So for my record of the week, I guess, let's throw out. And we both listened to this.
Mm-hmm.
Punk Static Paranoia by Orgy.
Oh, yeah. Man, and that surprised me.
It's still super, like, industrial sounding. It's still super kind of... Orgy always sounded futuristic to me. Like, it sounds like there's lasers going off all the time, and I like it.
right.
So this worked for me. I guarantee you, if this comes out 2024, I hate it. That's the difference, though. Knowing that it came out then, I like it a lot. If it comes out now, I'm out. I'm not good. So,
right.
But I liked it enough, and I thought the only Orgy record I liked was Candy Ass. So I'm glad there's two now.
I was the same way. Like, I remember Candy Ass coming out and loving it. And then wasn't there one in between Candy Ass and this? Vapor Trail?
Ooh, maybe.
I think that was the name of it. It fell off quite a bit. And then this one, I remember not enjoying.
Okay.
But revisiting it for our 20-year records, it took me by surprise. I really, really enjoyed it. I really liked it a lot.
Yeah. I was a fan.
Yep.
So draft over.
Yes.
Records of the week over. All that's left is, whose record is it?
It's you giving it to me.
Oh, damn.
Okay. The last one was Vandals.
Okay, so all that's left is for me. Oh, man. I'm panicking.
Oh, no.
All right, whatever. I got the hat on. We're finally doing it. Long awaited.
Oh, there's wow.
There's many. This is the artist and the group that I've been. We talked about it in a separate episode where I know there's records that might get you more. But I'm going to give you my favorite and just hope that. Hopefully I can talk you into it maybe on the episode.
Sure.
So it'll be Da Unbreakables, D.A. Unbreakables by 3-6 Mafia.
Yeah. Wow, this is also a long time coming.
Also, kind of like most 3-6 Mafia fans, not on their tops. Like, they're not on their tops, but I love it. And there's certain reasons why this is the one apart from it being my favorite.
Okay.
We'll see. So Dime Breakables, 3-6 Mafia.
Yeah, this is a long time coming record. At least long time coming group.
Put it on in the car with your family? really?
I'm guessing I'm not going to be doing that.
It's for the whole family, Scott. The whole family can sit back and enjoy this the way that it's meant to be enjoyed.
I'm sure.
I'm nervous, but very excited about it. Okay. If nothing else, I get to listen to 3-6 Mafia for a whole week and not feel guilty about it because I'm doing other things I should be listening to.
Right.
Scott?
Yeah.
That's it?
That's it. Good draft.
Good draft. Absolutely.
That was solid.
Listeners, thank you for listening.
Always.
Listen to something new. Listen to something you love.
Homework.
Follow us on Twitter or X at AOLpod. Follow us on Instagram at AOL Pod. Send us the email at areyoulistening.pod@gmo.com. Join the Facebook group. Link will be in the show notes. Scott, thank you for the podcast. Thank you for the episode. Thank you for the friendship.
Thank you, brother.
Next week, 3-6 Mafia. We're doing it.
And we're doing it.
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Dumb. Stupid. Great. Billy Joel, go suck an egg or something. I'm out.
Marble garble zouse with all these marbles in my mouth.
Yeah, Weird Alfred is a different dude. La 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 lasagna.